Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me, won't you, the title of our message? It's on the screen. Let's Be Shrewd Saints. Based on our gospel reading, just read, particularly verse 8, which says, "And his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than are the sons of light." You are encouraged this morning to follow the sermon outline. It's provided for you in the handout you picked up when you came into worship. Again, our title, Let's Be Shrewd Saints. When you look up the word shrewd in the dictionary, here's the definition you find. Determined, dogged, innovative, far-sighted, not willing to give up easily. And let's talk about shrewd people today. There are shrewd people in every walk of life, business, entertainment, politics, and sports. For these shrewd people, no sacrifice is too demanding. They invest unbelievable amount of time in practice and planning to achieve success and fame and riches. But the question of our sermon today is this: what about God's people being shrewd saints? What about being a shrewd Christian? What could happen if Christians took following Jesus as seriously as all these other folks take seriously getting ahead in life? Let's look at the shrewd steward in today's Jesus parable in chapter 16. In brief, we meet a steward, a manager, who was wasting and probably even stealing some of his master's possessions while the master was away. And so his master sent a message that he was coming back soon to make an accounting of all of his resources. The dishonest steward was caught. He knew that his job, if not his head, would soon be taken away. He had to come up with a quick plan. Listen to the text. This is what he says to himself. "I know what I'll do so people will welcome me into their homes." He began to summon his master's debtors. "How much do you owe my master?" 100 measures of oil. "Write 50. "How much do you owe my master?" 80 measures of wheat. "Write 100, write 80. An amazing plan. Before anybody knew he was fired, he would gather all those people who owed his master something, and he would severely reduce their debts. Therefore, he figured out that he'd win them as their friends, and when he lost his job and probably a place to live, they would welcome him into their homes. Now, the real curious thing about this parable of Jesus, though, was the reaction of the owner when he found out about the plan. We read in verse 8, "And the master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly." And then Jesus adds these words, "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relationship to their own kind than are the sons of light." Did you catch it? The master praised the dishonest steward for his innovative plan, for his shrewdness. Now that's interesting. But then Jesus compares this dishonest steward with the sons of light. Sons of light means Christians. Jesus says here, if only Christian people today would be as shrewd as this steward. Is Jesus praising dishonesty and cheating? No way. Then what's he doing? Remember the definition of shrewd. It's written on your outline. To be innovative, to be determined, not willing to give up easily. Here's what Jesus is saying. Why is it that people of this world scheme and innovate and work hard for earthly status and wealth when so many Christian believers hardly give a second thought to God's kingdom and their use of their time and their talents and their treasures for purposes of eternity. Now, I suggest there are some important lessons for us in this parable. Jesus wants us to come to grips with what really is important in life, matters of eternity. If you were here yesterday for Margaret's memorial service, whenever you attend a memorial or a funeral, you are hit right in the heart, right in the eyes and the mind with this question. What really is important? What is lasting? What about matters of eternity? Now, this steward in the parable is praised by his master because he came to grips with the crisis. The crisis was the loss of his job. And so he spent all of his energies to deal with it. Now, let me ask you a very important question this morning. What could possibly be more important to you than your eternity and the question of where you and others in your life will spend eternity? This parable forces us to ask ourselves this question today. Have I come to grips with the importance of eternity? What am I doing to get my life and the life of my family in order? Am I being shrewd in this? Am I determined to keep myself and my family and my loved ones close to the Lord? And what can I do to help others around me in the same? Now, our Lord Jesus would have us trust that there is nothing too big for Him and us to handle together, whether it's matters of this world or of eternity. Perhaps the Lord is asking us to trust Him, that together He and I and you can face matters that seem impossible and succeed together. Have you heard lately about the 9 handicapped people who together climbed 14,000 feet Mount Rainier in Washington State just south of us? 9 people. One had an artificial leg. One was epileptic, 2 were deaf, and 5 were blind. But they climbed the 14,000 feet of Mount Rainier. And when asked how, one blind person told the reporter this: "We trusted God and one another, and we learned that nothing was impossible." My dear friends, may this be the theme of our congregation. We trusted God and one another and learned that nothing was impossible. Now, in Jesus' parable about the shrewd steward, we see firsthand what money and possessions have to do with shrewdness. Jesus tells us in this text that our financial resources can be used to make eternal friends for God. Listen to verse 9. Jesus said, "And I say to you, make friends by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings." What does this mean? Here Jesus gives us a challenge. If the shrewd steward in the parable could use his financial resources to gain earthly friends for himself after he lost his job, why can't God's people use our resources to make eternal friends for God? You see, the repurpose of our tithes and our offerings, are you listening carefully? The real purpose for our tithes and offerings are never meant to pay church bills. Sunday after Sunday, as the offering plate is passed, we are encouraged to give our offerings as an act of worship. You know the words I speak after each and every sermon. We now worship our Lord with His offering. We respond to His love, the complete giving of Himself, offering Himself for us on the cross to pay for our sins. We respond to that love by our offerings. And these friends, says Jesus in the parable, can make eternal friends for God. Did you get it? By the way we use our financial offerings on this earth, There will be people in heaven waiting for us to welcome us there. By the offerings we get to support the gospel ministry in this place and around the world, to feed the poor, care for the hungry, reach out to those who are hurting, our shrewd use of resources, financial, will in some mysterious way bring people to the Lord forever in heaven. So there in heaven's gates, he greets Marlene Wallace and he says to Marlene, Marlene, because of your Christian stewardship, I know my Savior and I'm here forever. Just imagine that. Now, our offerings on Sunday support the gospel ministry that proclaims Christ as the Savior, takes care of people's physical needs, leads hurting people into the loving hands of God. But the use of our resources can go far beyond Sunday morning services and offerings, because there are an increasing number of people in the Christian church who include in their wills a gift for the kingdom of God that will long outlive them. In my will, there's such a gift for this congregation when the Lord takes me home. If you want more information about such a thing, see our brother Alan Schellenberg. He can help you with such a thing. But finally, the parable of the shrewd steward tells us that our financial offerings can be used for heaven's sake, for the sake of other people's eternity. So today, let me ask you two final questions. Has your spending brought you closer to God or further from Him? And secondly, has the use of your physical resources helped this last year toward the salvation of anyone or the alleviation of somebody's suffering? John Wesley, the Methodist man, the great writer of hymns, once said this: earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. But far more important than our shrewd use of resources is God's shrewdness. Remember the definition of shrewdness again? Shrewdness is being determined, dogged, not willing to give up. That describes our Lord's shrewdness for us in sending His Son, His plan from eternity, to pay for our sins. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:9. In this passage, it talks about Jesus giving up the riches and glory of heaven to become poor, so poor that He gave His life on the cross to give us the very riches of God, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Listen to the text. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that through His poverty we might become rich. This is what is called the great exchange. He gave up the riches and glory in heaven to come to our earth, and this exchange of His life led Him to the cross, where He took upon Himself our sin and in exchange gave us His forgiveness and righteousness. And all that He did for you and for me. All that He did for sinners like you and sinners like me. My friends, because of Jesus' loving sacrifice for us, because He went to the cross to pay the price for our sins, it is now our joy to be shrewd saints. One last time, the definition of shrewd: determined, dogged, innovative, far-sighted, not willing to give up easily. So strengthened by the love of our Savior, may we be shrewd saints, dedicating all that we have and all that we are for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of others' eternity, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, amen.